This is Amherst Eclectic, and I, again, was kind of bowled over by a post that I saw online through NPR, and the title is "How Law Enforcement is Promoting a Troubling Documentary About Sextortion." And this is, again, I will repeat this as many times as I possibly have to. This is again why I think that we should really be promoting sexual education in schools. Because I think a lot of kids are, you know, they have predators, pedophilia predators that come around them and they don't understand what's going on and they get groomed. Both in person and online, I think a lot of pedophilia predators that are going after children become teachers, become counselors, become priests, become nuns. You know, we're finding out that a lot of these priests have been pedophiles who have taken advantage of young boys, young girls for years, for centuries, for, you know, miles, as long as it's, you know, been a Catholic church. You know, they take advantage of their positions of trust and their positions of, oh, this is a perfect person and, you know, my parents can leave this person alone with me, when really they are the danger. So they find, you know, these kind of predators, particularly for children, both male and female, find positions where they're trusted and they somehow play it off. And I think there are some people that get accused erroneously because, you know, they may be hugging or you know, handshaking or whatever a kid a little too much for someone's comfort that might have experienced sexual assault in their childhood. And now they see any kind of touching from an adult in a certain position as wrong. But, you know, I think that's few and far between. I think mostly there are a lot of predators that they go for these positions where they can be trusted. And sad. There may even be doctors and nurses who are at children's hospitals and things like that. It's just like the flip side of, you know, just sexual predators of adults. You know, they keep catching them in rest homes, sexually assaulting older women and older men, and that, you know, can't move, can't do anything, can't get out of it, or may have Alzheimer's or whatever, and they think they can keep continually getting away with it. And then the children of these older people know something's going on, they find bruises or whatever, and they set up cameras in these rooms and they catch these people. So it's out there. And I think if we did more sex education, it might even slow down sexual predators, because sex would be more openly talked about, and it wouldn't be this hush-hush horrible thing that everybody makes it out to be when it really isn't. And maybe there would be less sexual assault, less rape, less, you know, date rape, less, you know, predators chasing after kids, pedophilia. I mean, I don't know. I would think that the more you talk about something, the more it heals society, and the more that you're not going to have as much, you know, negativity when it comes to sex. And it's really a healthy thing, right? Okay. Here's what on social media, law enforcement, the NPR article says this. Law enforcement officials around the U.S. are sponsoring screenings of a new documentary film that warns parents about the dangers of sexually coercive crimes online. So see, that's where we're going now. These predators are online, in apps, in children's apps. They're signing up as, you know, saying that they're a kid when really they're an adult, and they're you know, grooming these kids or getting these kids to meet them out places. This is why the other thing I will say, you should not be letting your kid online until they're at least 14, 15. I would wait until they're, you know, at least 14. But then I'm even scared of that. You know, I would say just like dating. A lot of people let their kids date sooner than 16. I think 16 should be the time when they're allowed to date. That's what, you know, it's a junior, senior year. And I don't think you should let your kids date before then. You know, if they go out with groups of people, you know the kids that they're going out with. And make sure that there's a adult chaperone at all times. And, you know, if kids don't like that, tough. You're trying to protect your kid. You know, if they're going out as a group, there should always be at least two or three adult chaperones with them. Yeah, you can go out and have fun with your friends, but, you know, there's going to be three or four of us adults with you to make sure that people don't stray off on their own or what have you, you know, and we're going to make sure that you're okay. Now you have to make sure that you trust those adults as well. Anyway, okay, back to the documentary. Dozens of organizations, including local police departments, universities, a film festival, the Pentagon, and the U.S. Attorney's Office, have lent the film credibility by hosting screenings. Two other U.S. attorneys' offices promoted the film in this new release. So what does that tell you? That tells you these are investigated. These are government offices. These are police and investigators that they know. They know that this is a major, major problem, and they have proof for that, which is why they are promoting this film to children so that they are educated, so that these children are educated. I mean, I would say this is another level of sexual education. This is part of sexual education. These are the kind of things that, yes, you're going to teach your kids about sex and how it works and how the parts go together and how if you do this, you're going to make a baby. You're going to talk about birth control. You're going to talk about abstinence. But you're also going to talk about there are predators in this world. And it needs to be talked about because sometimes these kids, like their father is molesting them at home, or their mother is molesting them, or their aunt, uncle, friend, whatever, teacher, whatever is molesting them. And they don't know what's happening because no one has ever talked about sex to them. And this person has groomed them and convinced them that what they're doing to them is okay. And then you have a 9-year-old girl who ends up pregnant, and people are like, how did this happen? Because we're not talking about sex. And not just not talking about sex and how it works. And we're not talking about the predators. And if we talk about in these sex education classes about the predators, after we've taught them about sex and, you know, what it is, and then we let them know that these are predators and they shouldn't even be touching you, they shouldn't be coming near you. If this person is over a certain age, you know, they shouldn't be around you. You're under this age, you are too young to be having sex, and no one should be touching you, etc. And also teaching them about the levels of grooming and how these people groom you. And how they get your trust as a child, and then they start sexually assaulting you. We need to talk to kids about this. It's not going to traumatize them. It's going to protect them. And I would say the people who are rallying up against not talking about sex and not talking about sexual predators and that sort of thing, those are the sexual predators. If you're against talking about all of this to kids, you are a sexual predator because you don't want kids to be able to protect themselves. You don't want kids to have the knowledge to protect themselves because you're the one doing it to them. I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's what they found out. If someone is verbally against homosexuality, underneath it all, they find out they're homosexual. So if people are so against sexual education, or talking about pedophiles and protecting how kids can protect themselves, it's probably because they're a pedophile. I mean, that's just how I see it. All right. I mean, why would you not want to protect your kids? Okay, now they're calling this sextortion, right? When these people get online and they extort your child. Okay, sextortion also is when someone over in another country poses as a beautiful girl or a really handsome boy, and they get these teenagers to take a nude picture and send it to them. Like, they'll send them a nude picture, which 9 times out of 10, it is the it's somebody else that they sextorted. And they'll take that picture of another teen and they'll send it, this beautiful girl, whatever, and they'll send it to a boy, and then the boy will send back a nude picture or a compromising nude picture, whatever, might be masturbating, might be doing something that's embarrassing. And then they will contact that teen and they will say, okay, you've got to give me $500 or I'm going to put this picture out all over the world for everyone to see. I'm going to send it to all your friends, all your contacts. And then they prove that they can get into their contacts, because guess what, people? If you don't have some sort of protection on your phone and on your computers, they can get into your contacts. And they'll contact everybody you know, and they'll threaten that they're going to do it. And they might even send like a dummy text to prove that they can do it. And then you'll hear back from all your friends, why did you send me this stupid text? That's what they do. Okay, so, and then when you come up with the $500, well, then they come back and say, well, now we want more. Because now you've proven to them that you have money that you're willing to give them. Then they just keep pushing for more and more and more. It's like any other kind of blackmail. Once they get a little bit of money, then they want more and more and more. And they'll just, and they know that they can use this. They found your Achilles heel. You don't want this picture going out. Me, I'd say, go ahead, send it. And then I would just say to everybody, listen, that's not me. They've put my head on someone else's body. I mean, there's ways of getting around this. You just tell them, like, go ahead, send a picture to everybody. Send a video to everybody. There's AI now, and there's so much Photoshopping going on. I can just tell everybody that it's not me and that you put my head on somebody else's body. And that wasn't me. I mean, seriously, people, there's ways to get out of it. Just say, I don't care, send it. And then, you know, when people say, it's a she, you can say, that's not me. That's not my body. That's, you know, I mean, that's how you get out of things. Or do this. Don't ever send a naked picture of yourself with your face connected to it. Or don't send a naked picture of yourself ever to anyone. I think I've discussed this in other podcasts. I think Dr. Phil did a show about this, sextortion, as well. Okay, sextortion, the hidden pandemic, describes what the filmmaker refers to as the fastest growing crime in the world that nobody knows about. And that is 1,000 times more prevalent than sex trafficking. So this is how they're getting, I mean, think about that. Sex trafficking is really bad, but this is 1,000 times more prevalent, where they're taking advantage of young teens. And what's happening is these teens, because they can't come up with the money and they don't want these pictures getting out that these people have, you know, they've sent to them, thinking they were some young girl or young boy that they were trying to get with, they're killing themselves. They're committing suicide. And if you are thinking about committing suicide, 988, dial it right now. Call the suicide hotline. There's always a way out. There's always a way around things. And to be honest with you, people, someone seeing a naked picture of you or even seeing a picture of you masturbating is not the worst thing in the world. It's not worth killing yourself over. All right? I mean, it's stupid to have done it. It's stupid to have put it out there. But there are ways that can be, there are companies that can take all that stuff down. Whenever that video comes up, they can go to the person's IP address and catch them. They can get rid of all that stuff. And it will go away. So don't end your life because of some stupid picture or some stupid video. Who cares? You can still go on. Okay, so, all right. When you first face this kind of crime, you have a natural aversion to it. But then you realize, Oh my gosh, this could be happening to, well, at first we thought thousands. Now we know it's millions of children, said Maria Peek, one of the documentary's filmmakers, at a screening at the University of Southern California in October 22nd. The film features federal and local prosecutors as well as Homeland Security investigator agents describing a serious crime against children that they believe is on the rise. But it also contains claims disputed by other experts in the field and an emphasis on large statistics that experts say muddle the scale and scope of the problem. NPR has learned that the filmmakers and the film's promotional material misrepresented cooperations with the Department of Justice. All right, so it's out there. They're wanting people to see this. I don't know. It seems like, you know, wherever there's a outlet to get to teens, to get to kids, you're going to have predators. You're going to have nefarious people. And the problem with this is our society teaches that, what did I read? I read something the other day that when women started becoming more feminist, when women started wanting more equality, because basically the definition of feminism is equality of the sexes. I don't know if anybody really has looked that up, but that's what it is. Feminism is defined as equality of the sexes. So that it just means that, you know, men and women are equal at every level. They get same pay. They are able to do the same education, same jobs. That's what feminism is. And if you're not a feminist, then you're a male jerk who doesn't want women to be equal to you. So if you stand around and say, I'm not a feminist, then you're basically saying, I don't believe in equality for men and women. I don't think that men and women are equal in the workplace. I don't think they should get the same pay. That's what you're saying if you say you're not a feminist. Okay? So I heard that the comment was that the male population, the misogynist male population that's within our patriarchal societies all across the globe, and people hate to admit it, but you know, we still have a patriarchal society in America. The ERA, Equal Rights Amendment, has not passed in all states. That means women are not considered equal in the eyes of the law in many states. And there's only parts of the ERA that have passed in certain states. So that means that only partially are they equal in certain states. That's crazy. As a female human being, I think that's crazy. There should be on the laws that women are equal all across the board. But here we are in a patriarchal society where we're still expected to marry, stay home, take care of the kids. I mean, during the pandemic, we were shown that ideal is still alive, because companies were letting go females far before they would let go males. And I can remember, you know, applying for jobs or going for promotions or whatever in places I've worked, and I have had people say to me, but he has a family he has to support. Well, so do I. You know, I have a family I need to support. Well, how is that different? Well, it's different for a man. How is that different? You know, and I have the same thing. I have a family to support. I have myself to support. Whatever. You know, I might, you know, people might have parents that they're helping to take care of. I mean, and women end up taking care of the parents more than men do. Women end up taking care of their children more than men do. Men get off the hook for so much. It's not even funny. Still, in this American patriarchal society. And so what they said was, the comment was that when feminism came in, men decided, well, all you women want to be equal, you want to be feminist, you don't want to stay home and have babies and do as we tell you and have sex whenever we want you to, and just, you know, do your wifely duties when you're supposed to. You actually want choice and you want to be treated equally, then we'll replace you with little girls. That was the statement that I read. And that is exactly what has been happening in societies all over the world. What has been a child sex slavery boom has been because, and it's mostly little girls or teenagers, it's because men have decided that since they can't control adult women anymore and make them do what they want like they used to be able to, right? When women had no choices and no equality, nothing. So now they're reverting to little girls and teenagers and trying to control them and, you know, get them to where they want them to be, groom them. And then it goes into adulthood, right? And of course, once those women, once those little girls and teens become adults and they're out in the world, they learn that what has been done to them is awful. So that is why this is on the rise. I'm a full understanding that this is why these crimes are on the rise. This is why you're seeing, and maybe too, it's always happened, but not on this scale, because the morality of it was seen as really awful back in the day, but now it's more accepted. You know, barely legal, or, I mean, there's songs on the radio. I was just talking about this the other day. Oh, I can't remember the name of the group. Oh, Winger. Winger is the group. And one of their songs talks about a girl who's, you know, she's only 17. You know what I mean. I can't help myself, that kind of stuff. Just basically talking about, you know, I'm going to sleep with and have sex with this 17-year-old. I can't help myself. So, you know, instead of saying 13, 14, 15, they said 17 because, you know, that's like a year away from legal, right? So it made, but that song has been played for over 40, 50 years. How long has that been out? The 80s? So it's been played for a long, long time. And it's still on the radio and I can still hear people singing it. And Winger, that is their number one song and video on YouTube. I looked it up. It's everywhere. Because this is a pervasive idea within the male-dominated societies that they're allowed to do these things. They're allowed to take advantage of women. They're allowed to take advantage of teens. They're allowed to take advantage of little girls. And that's why this continues to happen. That's why there hasn't been a crackdown on it. That's why all over the world, it is just accepted that this is okay. And let's not forget that, you know, I've watched a PBS special about how they're doing this to little boys, too. They're doing it to teenage boys and you know, underage boys, sexually assaulting them as well. So men think that because they have those urges towards little boys and teenage boys, they're allowed to do that as well. Because in all of these societies, these men are being taught that they are at the top of the food chain, per se. And they can do whatever they want. And they can hurt people. They can take advantage of people. You know, this is why I've talked about it in other podcasts. The number one killer of women is their partners. Their male partners. I mean, that's up there with, you know, cancer and heart disease. Which is shocking. And we're not just talking about in America. We're talking about all over the world. It's worse around the world. I just watched a special about the pink buses in India. Like, they literally have to have separate buses where only women can get on them for women to not be sexually assaulted on the bus. That's crazy. Because men think that they are allowed to cross those boundaries. They're allowed to cross those lines and they're allowed to get away with it. And guess what? They get away with it because the law does not support putting men in jail, because who makes the law? Men make the law. And they're afraid to have these laws in the book because one day those laws might be used against them. So men won't pass these laws because, again, they, you know, you may think every man on the face of this planet is a decent man. They're not. Because if we had many, many decent men, those laws would get passed. There would be no way that there wouldn't be a law on the book that stopped all this around the world. So that's my concern, is that these things are happening, and yes, they're trying to put it out there, and you know, there's good people who are trying to put this movie out. There's good people that are trying to end sex trafficking. I have a friend on Facebook. His name's Aaron Cohen. He actually trains people to go in and to bust sex traffickers. And I've called him a hero in the past, and it makes him uncomfortable. But I don't think he understands that there are not many men like him. And the men who are out there battling against these things and see women as equal are rare. So to me, that's a hero. That he actually grew up in this patriarchal society and still comes out to be the man that he is, battling against sex trafficking. Battling against the proverbial patriarchal society and what men are taught. Even though he's been brought up in that, he has come out of it feeling like he needs to stop what is going on, seeing that it is wrong. So it's hard to find most men who are like that, even though they know it's wrong. So I think that it's a big thing that we have to overcome. But hopefully films like this one that they're trying to put out there to warn kids, warn parents, hopefully the people who are fighting against sex trafficking, hopefully even just my podcast trying to, you know, make people talk more about these subject matters and be more open about them and get educated on them. Hopefully we are breaking away and chiseling away at that, you know, staunch patriarchal misogynist fabric that has been such a part of our world. I mean, I think even women are slightly brainwashed with the misogyny and the patriarchal society because they grew up in it. So when you hear women saying, "I'm not a feminist," that's a woman who has been brainwashed by misogynists. To say that she's not a feminist, you're basically saying you don't believe in your own equality, which is crazy. I will tell you right now, I am a feminist. I believe in equality, not just of the sexes, both male and female, but I believe in equality of everyone. Whatever your ethnicity is, whether you are gay, lesbian, transgendered, LGBTQ+, you know, people can live their own lives and make their own choices. The only thing I don't believe in is pedophiles and people who take advantage of much younger people than them. Even if someone has passed 18 and you are way older than them and you're going out with someone who's younger because you want to groom them or make them into what you, like when a man says, "Oh, I want to train her up," you know what you're saying? You're saying, "I want to groom her." You are a pedophile saying you want to groom a much younger girl, a much younger woman. So, you know, the same pervasiveness that goes on with young kids, you're doing that even as an adult with a much younger woman. There was a guy, he's a model, I can't think of his name. He's an older model, he's like in his 40s, I think, mid-40s. And he's in shape, you know, with gray hair. He looks really good. He gets a lot of modeling jobs. And just in the last year or so, he met a woman who is way younger than him. I think she's 25. She's 19, 20 years younger. And there's been an outcry on his page about it. And he's like, "Oh, I don't understand why everybody's getting so upset." That's why. Because you're with somebody who's 20 years younger than you. She's barely out of college. And you've already lived your life. And now you're dating a child. I mean, really. Now, everybody has individual situations, but that's why the outcry. So the same sort of thing, right? It's the same sort of thing. Every case is individual, but, you know. Until next time, this has been Amherst Eclectic.